Good morning, everyone. This is Christopher Glenn with the CBS World News Roundup. A French court has ignored the prosecutor's warning that a stiff sentence for a Lebanese militant could bring more bombings on the streets of Paris. Instead of the recommended leniency, Georges Abdallah will be locked up for life.
When the decision was read aloud, there were gasps. It was a surprising and stunning sentence, one with a message perhaps from the judges that they were above politics. The French people had expected a lighter sentence, especially after the state prosecutor yesterday asked the panel to be lenient and adapt to events. Abdallah's lawyer called the verdict a declaration of war for Arab militants. U.S. Ambassador Joe Rogers, asked about the possibility of new terrorist bombings here, said free nations had to take a stand.
We will have to worry about the outcome of this later, and we must take the consequences of defending democracy like we have in our world wars and other ways. We're at war. And we're defending democracy.
Abdallah had been accused of complicity in the murder of U.S. diplomat Charles Ray, among other crimes. The court ordered him to pay Ray's family nearly $60,000 in damages, and the U.S. government what it asked for, a symbolic one franc. Ronnie Hess, CBS News, Paris.
They're singing Hail to the Chief of Staff in Washington this morning, bipartisan praise for former Senator Howard Baker, chosen by President Reagan to replace Donald Regan as the top White House aide.
This is Hampton Pearson in Washington. Even though he does not officially go on the job until Monday, President Reagan's new chief of staff, Howard Baker, plans to spend the weekend planning the transition. The 61-year-old former Senate Republican leader says President Reagan is still a strong president, and his goal is to do what he can to help salvage the final 2 years of the Reagan presidency.
If a president of the United States, especially a president of the United States who currently has significant problems, asks you to do a major undertaking, that there's a heavy responsibility to do that.
By accepting the chief of staff's job, Baker gives up whatever presidential ambitions he may have had for 1988. Baker said he would be a full-time chief of staff. Hampton Pearson, CBS News, Washington.
This is Terrence Smith at the White House. The Baker appointment capped a tense 48 hours at the White House that included the release of the highly critical Tower report, a presidential search for a new chief of staff, and an angry departure by Donald Regan. It makes for quite a tale of backstage maneuvering at the White House. Stung by the Tower report, Mr. Regan first asked former Senator Paul Laxalt to take the job. Laxalt declined and suggested Howard Baker, who accepted Friday after a private meeting with the president in the White House. Regan, who thought he had a commitment from the president to stay until next week, was unaware that his replacement had already been chosen. The White House was not planning to announce the appointment Friday, but word of the president's selection began to circulate on Capitol Hill. Regan himself learned of it from a television broadcast. Furious, he dictated a one-sentence letter of resignation and stormed out of the White House. Howard Baker will bring a number of qualities to his new job that his predecessor lacked. For one, a thorough understanding of Congress, especially the Senate, where he served for 18 years. Baker is widely known and respected in Washington. He seems perfectly positioned to begin the considerable task of helping Ronald Reagan rebuild his presidency. Terrence Smith, CBS News, the White House.
One of the key players in the Iran affair is being moved down a peg in the military chain of command. David Martin has that story from the Pentagon.
Sometime next week, Admiral John Poindexter will lose one of his stars and, in effect, be demoted to Rear Admiral. Poindexter held the rank of Vice Admiral as the President's National Security Advisor. Since he resigned in the wake of the Iran-Contra affair, Poindexter has been working as a special assistant to the Chief of Naval Operations. To keep his Vice Admiral's rank, Poindexter would have to be assigned a Vice Admiral's job, but that would require Senate confirmation. No one in the Pentagon wants to send Poindexter's name up to Congress in the wake of the Tower report, which concluded that Poindexter failed grievously in his responsibilities to the president. Also, Pentagon officials say Defense Secretary Weinberger has repeatedly called on both Poindexter and Marine Lieutenant Colonel Oliver North to tell all they know. Pentagon officials say Weinberger is not about to award a coveted vice admiral's job to an officer who is hiding behind the Fifth Amendment. David Martin, CBS News, the Pentagon.
As an 18-mile-long oil slick from a freighter's ruptured fuel tanks begins washing ashore, Harry Tallis, auditor at the Sea Turtle Inn in Jacksonville, says the beach is no place to play today.
They're using bulldozers and trucks to haul the dirt away. Plenty of oil. This is Steve Fondle with WOKV in Jacksonville. Cleanup crews are working some long hours along Jacksonville's beaches trying to deal with this area's worst oil spill in a decade. The oil is continuously washing ashore at the beaches, an area that stretches some 30 miles along the coastline. Lieutenant John Wigger of the Marine Safety Office says the biggest problem now is coordinating the cleanup efforts with the tide.
We can't really get in there to remove it until the tide goes back out again and it's left on the beach, and then we scoop it up and get it out of there.
One major impact has been hundreds of oil-covered seabirds. Volunteer groups were quickly organized to deal with the wildlife problem. Steve Fondle for CBS News, Jacksonville.
The price was high as police moved in for a drug caller in a northern Miami neighborhood. We asked Tim Minton of WTVJ to fill us in.
One suspect tried to get away by running over detectives, undercover detectives, with his car. Backup detectives showed up. They cut off the car, but shooting started. Police later said that they had been unable to find a gun in the suspect's car, that officers must have been caught in a crossfire. The toll at the end, two officers shot, police say by other officers, and four officers in the hospital due to being hit by that suspect's car. The suspect himself was killed.
One of the wounded officers is in critical condition. The U.S. Air Force will try again tomorrow to test a cruise missile over northern Canada. A scheduled test flight yesterday was postponed because poor weather in Oklahoma kept support planes on the ground. Actor Ryan O'Neill's son, Griffin O'Neill, has received a suspended sentence for negligence in the death of director Francis Ford Coppola's son. O'Neill was convicted in connection with a boating accident at Annapolis, Maryland. It's been a year today since a man walked up to Swedish Prime Minister Olof Palme on a Stockholm street and shot him to death.
The murder of Olof Palme came as a shock to the Swedish people, living in a quiet welfare state virtually untouched by political violence. Here in Stockholm, there'll be a torchlight procession this evening, followed by a memorial concert. Among the speakers will be Ingvar Carlsson, Palme's friend and successor as Prime Minister. Carlsson will also be speaking at a midnight mass at Stockholm Cathedral. Swedes by now have gotten over the shock of the killing, but many are expressing irritation over the lack of progress in the police investigation. It seems to have wasted a year on a false trail and is now back at square one. George Wood for CBS News, Stockholm.
7-year-old Ronnie DeSillers is making good progress, thank you. He'd been moved out of intensive care at a Pittsburgh hospital after liver transplant surgery. President Reagan donated $1,000 to help defray the cost after learning that someone had stolen $4,000 in previous contributions.